bit later on there's an all-age service, so you're getting some benefit, if that's what it is, from that. Thinking about the signs of the fig tree and wondering how many of us would really know which way up a fig tree went, even. And what are the sort of signs that we can see around us that we understand because we have them all around us, as people had fig trees all around them back then. So we could do something with things about those of us who are drivers, at least, or many of us passengers. We could do things with road signs. So road signs, some of them are obvious. You really couldn't get that one wrong, and you need to stop or give way, or if you want to go to Nottingham, that's the way you go. Actually, it should say Derby as well. I think it's just as equally important a place at that particular turning. And then some of them we've got to know very well. Those of us who've been driving, it doesn't take us a moment to think what that means. It's no entry, and then something like this is fairly obvious. It's a roundabout. They go the other way around on the continent, and things like that. And then some of them are very obvious, even if you just look at the pictures. There's a zoo that way. That would be interesting. And we even know this one, which you just have to think a little bit about. A man letting off a rocket. No, it's a picnic site. So these sort of things, they're fairly obvious. But there's a lot of them which we've learned. So for us, they're obvious now, but they maybe wouldn't have been to begin with. So this one, watch out for trousers discarded on the road. Tuning fork. All right. Well, that might apply to the next thing as well. This is, let's beware trousers then. This one is, beware John Travolta. There we go. And this one is, beware Elvis. So you see, you didn't know those things. And then this one, Elvis has left the building. Anyway, and then there are some more. I'm sure you know all these, but this is very suitable for today. Is it snow? No, actually, it's meant to be danger of ice officially, but I'm sure snow will also do the job. This one is, there are some horse riders about. This one is, they've fallen off. Or there's wild horses, in fact. And I love this one because it's just such a great picture. Danger of grounding. It doesn't look that interesting when it happens. But anyway, I love that one. This one, do not stack your cars more than three high. Actually just means beware of possible queues. I like this one as well. Slippery slope, very good for today. Slippery road, be careful everybody. And another favourite is this one, which is such a boring thing, really. It just means there's a quayside nearby or a river. But it's just much more fun to look at the picture. And then I don't know if I've seen this one, but it came in a list of things. What do you think that means? No vehicles carrying explosives allowed. That's very clearly, frequently useful one in this country. Anyway. I'm not sure if anybody... Anyway, let's leave that one. No carrying of explosives. There we go. So, in the all-age service, we'll then do a little bit of experiment with getting some people to write their own signs and things. But we've got no fishing sign there. We've got the beware of the bull sign here. And then one which we used to have very near our place where we lived before, which was Toad's Crossing. It's brilliant. So carefully drawn. And... I don't know, road signs, signs for our lives even. There's a turn ahead. Sometimes we wish that God would give us these sort of signs for our lives. You know, it's going to change direction in a moment. Or just watch it, because it might go round and round for a bit, but don't worry. And it's getting a bit slippery ahead, be cautious. Don't go that way. These are the sort of things which are part of our, they're part of the way that we deal with life. It might be helpful if we had a road sign for them. I'm going to whiz on here. We're going to sing God's love is bigger than a burger. Can you see? That's called the burger sign. Did you know that? Clearly, it's very nearly like a burger, you see. So hardly any difference. So on your phone, when you press the three buttons, it's called a burger. Anyway, let's get to talk more seriously now. We'll talk about our readings. Advent is about being prepared. That's one part of Advent. And that's a bit like road signs for us. And there's been a great Advent reading from Mark that we just had. Look out for the signs. Be alert. Don't be caught out. That's the gist of the passage all the way through. But we can struggle with readings like this, can't we? Because they're so dramatic. They're scary even. We're not really sure what to make of them. How do we make sense of all the different parts of it? And funnily enough, people who were listening to them back then would have been able to make a lot more sense of them than we do now. Because it's a bit like those times when you go to a film, or you read a book, or you listen to a conversation, and you realise that there's a whole lot going on that you don't understand, because a lot of people have got the in-jokes or the in-things. They know something. If we go with our David to a Marvel superhero film, then he enjoys it. I think Rachel does now as well, because she's so well versed in it. But they enjoy it on a level lower, deeper, deeper than the rest of, because they recognise the cross references to other films or other things. David knows about all the comics that go with it, and there's so many bits where, oh, that means that. Oh, that's that happening. And we go, really? So there's a lot of stuff going on here, which we miss stuff because we're not immersed in the world of the people who Jesus was first speaking to. And while I'm not going to try and explain that fully, I'll just talk a little bit about it because I'm not clever enough to explain it fully. But anyway, we don't see things now that people would have seen back then. So there's that bit in the passage from Mark that we just read about the sun being darkened and planets falling out of the sky and things like that. And we think in our scientific way, how's that going to work then? And it's actually all a quotation. Jesus is drawing stuff from Isaiah chapter 13 and 34, if you want to look it up, but don't, about some dreadful events. That's what Isaiah was talking about. He was talking about the fall of Babylon and the fall of Edom. And they were cataclysmic things that were going to happen. And Isaiah didn't have any language to talk about them, except in these images of huge stuff. It's going to be earth-shattering, it's going to be life-changing, it's going to make everything different that you've got used to. And so he talks about these images. And so when we have Jesus talking about another big event, because those two things both happened, and people would look back and say, yes, that was Isaiah talking about that, that was big. And now here is Jesus talking in those same images. He's talking about something big that's going to happen, something cataclysmic, something that we better be ready for and watch out for. And then there's words there about the Son of Man coming on the clouds. And that is a link back to the book of Daniel and the prophecies of Daniel in chapter 7. And I'll go back to that in a moment, but there's all sorts of bits where people at the time who were very well versed in the Old Testament scripture, the Hebrew scriptures, would have recognized it, would have heard something, would have realized something more than we do maybe now. Actually, take this whole passage. We're used to thinking of it as being straight on about the return of Jesus at the end of time, and that we should stay ready. But it does, as I said, present problems. Well, which things have happened, which things haven't happened? And in this passage particularly, there is a different way of looking at it. A lot of theologians, people who study the Bible and study how God speaks to us, have been looking at this one, obviously, over centuries. And I want to just give you a different way of looking at that, which I've been reading it from Tom Wright, though he's not the only one. Tom Wright was a bishop, was the Bishop of Durham, and is a great theologian, somebody who's prepared to think about things differently from the standard way that we do. And he would say, don't immediately think of this as being about Jesus' return. It's not about the end of the world. Therefore, don't worry about, has this sign happened? Has that sign happened? It's actually about something that did happen before the generation had passed away. I'm sure all these things will happen before this generation passes away. It did, he said, because it happened in 70 AD when Jerusalem was ransacked and left in ruins. This is a passage, he says, about Jesus keeping on the same topic that the start of the chapter is talking about. If you look back at the beginning of chapter 13, it says, as Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Do you see all these great buildings? Replied Jesus. Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are all about to be fulfilled? And then a few verses later, we have what we're reading here. And then let's take the message of the Son of Man coming on the clouds, which we can so easily take in this passage to be straight about Jesus, because he does talk about returning as you've seen him go away, that sort of thing. That's what the angels say. But actually, if you look at Daniel chapter 7, it says, In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Amen. That's, you know, as Jesus has done all that. But actually, this is about the Son of Man arriving at the Ancient of Days, having completed that work. And if you think about it, the destruction of Jerusalem was the time when it became clear, absolutely, that the message of God's salvation, which had started in the Holy Land with the Jews there, had burst forth and it was going to the ends of the earth. It was no longer linked back to the physical temple. The physical temple wasn't there anymore, but it was linked to Jesus Christ, who has saved us and whose message goes on to the ends of the earth. So in a sense, it was a sign of that triumphant and huge thing that Jesus had done. That, you know, when there was no more Jerusalem, well, then you really had to realize that God's way of saving us comes through Jesus and not through any place or building. That would be the way that Tom Wright sees it. I quite like that way of looking at it, actually. But whichever way we look at it, and it's not worth nitpicking about it, all of this passage does say that we need to be ready as Christians, because actually we need to be ready for Jesus' return as Christians. We must be alert. Those messages at the end of the passage were very much about the way we need to live our lives now, as well as the way that people need to be ready for the fact that Jerusalem would not stay standing in the way it was then forever, or for that much longer even. So what sort of ready do we need to be? We're going to go back to road signs now, because it's maybe helpful. We're told to keep watch. We're told to keep aware, be aware. So is it like when we see this, beware of the bull? We're sort of going around life thinking, ah, there's a bull out here somewhere, I can't see it. Or it's one of those ones over there, but I can't see underneath, so I can't work out which one it is. So we're sort of going through life thinking, oh dear, we've got to be scared of something. It's somewhere, it's going to happen. I haven't a clue when. It might be in a bad mood. Oh dear. You know, is that really the sort of thing that we're expected to live like? I don't think it's that sort of scary, trying to be ready, never sure what's going to happen, looking over your shoulder thing. But nor is it totally predictable. We haven't, unfortunately, got one of these saying in half a month's time, Jesus will return. And then helpfully we go on a bit further and we get one of these. And then we get one of those. And then we get one of those. And then we go, yes, Jesus will return. Ta-da, he's here. It doesn't actually work like that either. That's not the way it is. I think if we were going to pick any of these, but none of them are particularly adequate, it would be more like the wild horses thing, where you think, wow, out there are wild horses. That's great. We'll drive carefully along the road, but I'm not actually expecting any moment to be jumped on by a wild horse. But if the wild horse is there, I will be ready. I've been warned. I've got my eyes open for it. I'm living rather more carefully. Maybe that's also true when you have the toad sign. Drive a bit more carefully, but they are a little bit little. That's the trouble. And they tend to go across the middle of the night, so maybe not the toad. Actually, I worry that it's a bit more like this one, in the way that a lot of us treat it. Because we see that and we think, okay, there may be an unexpected speed camera somewhere, and so I better drive in the right way, so that if the unexpected speed camera should happen to flash its light at me, I will be going the right speed. Maybe that's not so helpful. Anyway, don't you think that looks like an alien on a mobile phone? So, the message is that we need to be ready all the time. We need to live lives that are worthy of Jesus. We don't do the things that we shouldn't be doing at the beginning of our confession. That's along those lines. When the Lord comes, he will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and disclose the purposes of the heart. Therefore, in the light of Christ, let us confess our sins. That's that side of it, which says, you know, speed camera, don't be doing the wrong thing. But there's another side to it, far better than the speed camera side of it. It is that Jesus, yes, he saved us. Yes, we mess up and he forgives us when we come to him in repentance. But more than that, he's called us. He's called us to be doing his kingdom stuff, to be making a difference in the world, to be part of what he's up to in the world, part of what he wants to do with the people he loves and the world he loves. He's got us involved. We're called. And that's part of living ready. And that means all sorts of things for different people in different places at different times. And just last week we were asking ourselves, what does that mean for us as a church? Maybe some of that will be some of us taking on different things or looking in different possible ways. Is God calling us to get involved in his work with children and families or with people who are vulnerable in Ripley? Or is God calling us particularly to remain joyful and steadfast in prayer and worship and be doing his work and allowing his work to happen, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us? That's what Paul saw in the church in Corinth, which he talks about in the letter that we had as our first reading. And I'm going to read it again as we come towards the end here. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Jesus Christ. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day our Lord Jesus Christ comes. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So in all of this, it's Jesus who will keep us firm to the end. Jesus who will keep us ready, enable us to be alert. He will make us strong so that we can be awake and alert and do the things that the Master has left for us to do in that image that Jesus used at the end of the Mark passage. So let's do that joyfully. Jesus will return. Fanfare on the organ. It's fantastic. Let's look forward to it because it's a wonderful time that we're living in, not just Advent. I was thinking as I walked the dogs, Advent is not just for Christmas. It's all the year round. It's all of our lives as Christians. Amen.